So today we're reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, entitled Creation, chapter number 8. It's number 3, huh?
Two.
Verse is 3, with the purple. Sorry. So should we just do 2 and then I'll speak on 3?
Yeah, okay.
Okay. This chapter number 8, Prayers by Queen Kunti and Parikshit Saved. We're reading verses 2 and 3. Verse 3 actually has the purport, but we'll read 2 together as it's on the board. Verse 2, there's no purport. The translation is, having lamented over them and sufficiently offered Ganges water, they bathed in the Ganges, whose water is sanctified due to being mixed with the dust of the lotus feet of the Lord. For those, I think many are following on books or phones, we can just do this one. The purport. The battle of Kurukshetra was fought between the family members, and thus all affected persons were also family members like Maharaj Yudhishthir and brothers, Kunti, Draupadi, Subhadra, Dhritarashtra, Gandhari and her daughter-in-laws, etc. All the principal dead bodies were in some way or other related with each other, and therefore the family grief was combined. Lord Krishna was also one of them as a cousin of the Pandavas and nephew of Kunti, as well as brother of Subhadra, etc. The Lord, therefore, was equally sympathetic toward all of them, and therefore he began to pacify them befittingly. There sat the king of the Kurus, Maharaj Yudhishthir, along with his younger brothers and Dhritarashtra, Gandhari, Kunti and Draupadi, all overwhelmed with grief. Lord Shri Krishna was also there. Om Jnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Salakaya Chakshur Ummilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Tadati Swapadantikam Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadara Shivasari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So welcome to the morning Bhagavatam class, mainly to myself because we don't regularly come, but I took on the service unknowingly. Because I wanted to make an offering on behalf of my son for his birthday, which was yesterday, to try and share something that was meaningful to me in my life, and something extraordinary that happened in the life of my son. So here, Srila Prabhupada, well, in the passage that's going on is that the five sons of Draupadi were massacred by Ashwatthama. And Draupadi was understandably very hurt by all of this. And then Arjuna had got the Ashwatthama. And later it unfolds that she actually says, no, release him. But in this particular part, we can see that they're now standing on the site of where all the dead people are from the massive battle of Kurukshetra. And they are purifying them with the Ganges water. And here, as a family, they've come together and they are overwhelmed with grief. Interestingly, in the translation, it lists the different personalities and they said, all overwhelmed with grief. Then there's a separate sentence, Lord Krishna was also there. Signifying, before the purport even starts, that Lord Krishna is above all of this, although the purport explains that he's tied by family ties with the rest of the family, he himself is not overwhelmed with grief, and that by constitution of the definition of being God, he has to be transcendental to these material perceptions. In the purport, there's an interesting word that hit me, is that the Lord, therefore, was equally sympathetic towards all of them, and therefore he began to pacify them befittingly. So I'm a married man, and for all of us who are married, or sadhus here that have to deal with people who are married, often hear about the issues about how men are not empathetic to their wives. And the women have to struggle through the lack of empathy from the men. And it's one of the things that often comes up in my marriage and in the marriage of many other people or men. And I'm talking about the real world, not in the Shastra. In the Shastra, everyone is pure. But in this contaminated world that we live in, especially in the modern world where values have become so weak and faint, empathy is not there. So what is the difference between empathy and sympathy? Because here, the purport says that Krishna became equally sympathetic, but yet everyone is looking for empathy. Why was Krishna not empathetic? The dictionary definition states that empathy is the ability to experience the feelings of another person. It goes beyond sympathy, which is caring and understanding for the suffering of others. So in this verse, Krishna seems to be sympathetic towards his lamenting family members. How could he be empathetic when he knows and instructs Arjuna in the Bhagavad Gita that one can't be one who's an Aryan, one who's aware of this knowledge and culture? He must be equipoised in happiness and distress, and he must be able to see beyond the material body. So Krishna is empathetic on one sense, because actually he is the only person as the absolute truth who understands that these people are grieving for what is not to be grieved by. But at the same time, the word is chosen sympathetic, and I found interesting by Prabhupada that it's more of a caring, a supportive emotion than empathetic is when you start, you know, sharing the emotion of the other person, because then he would go to that platform and his duty was to uplift them. Then I looked up sympathy in Veda base, and there was a couple of interesting passages I found that I wanted to share. This is from the... Let's have a look. This is from the Adi Leela of Chaitanya Charitamrita, chapter 5, verse 22. It's talking about the residents of Brahmaloka. In Brahmaloka, there is an unlimited number of aeroplanes that are controlled not by yantra, but by mantra. Because of the existence of the mind and intelligence on Brahmaloka, its residents have feelings of happiness and distress. But there is no cause of lamentation from old age, death, fear, and distress. They feel sympathy, however, for the suffering living beings who are consumed in the fire of annihilation. The residents of Brahmaloka do not have gross material bodies to change at death, but they transform their subtle bodies into spiritual bodies, and thus enter into the spiritual sky. And it goes on. But here, interesting how the residents of Brahmaloka, they feel sympathy, but they feel sympathy for all of us in who have material bodies, gross bodies, subtle bodies, and a hidden spiritual body. But because they're on the subtle platform, they don't have to empathize with it. They can just sympathize. Then there was another passage. This is from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 5, Chapter 8, verse number 9. When a person is advanced in spiritual consciousness or Krishna consciousness, he naturally becomes very sympathetic toward all living entities suffering in the material world. Naturally, such an advanced person thinks of suffering of the people in general. However, if one does not know of the material sufferings of fallen souls and becomes sympathetic because of bodily comforts, as in the case of Bharat Maharaj, such sympathy or compassion is the cause of one's downfall. If one, and this is showing the other side of being sympathetic, the risk. If one is actually sympathetic to fallen suffering humanity, he should try to elevate people from material consciousness to spiritual consciousness. As far as the deer was concerned, Bharat Maharaj became very sympathetic, but he forgot that it was impossible for him to elevate a deer to spiritual consciousness, because after all, a deer is but an animal. It goes on. Interesting point from this purport is that we can learn, or I was reflecting on it, and I found how when we're out preaching to people, be it Sankirtan or community preaching, We have to be sympathetic for certain individuals, and we're dealing with human beings, so all of them can be raised to the spiritual platform and should be, and that's our duty as preachers. But certain situations, you might find that the challenge is too difficult. But we should take courage from here that Bharat Maharaj fell down because he was trying to raise something that can't be raised to spiritual consciousness. But we have the opportunity of dealing with all these human beings that are coming willingly to the temple. And then unwillingly, we meet them on the street. But we have that adhikar that Lord Chaitanya has given us to try and share Krishna consciousness with these people. So we should intelligently try to uplift them. And many people come to us on the streets and say, oh, this is wrong, and I want to commit suicide, and this person left me, or I've lost a job. And they're looking for sympathy. They're looking for some love. And it's our duty to try and be sympathetic, but with the viewpoint of uplifting them through some initial contact, but then ultimately crossing the bridge and bringing them their Krishna consciousness, bringing them closer to Krishna. However, when I was looking through, I saw another passage where the word sympathy was. And this was taking the principle of how to deal with death in the association of devotees to the highest platform, in my opinion. And this is from the life of Srivast Thakur. So we know in Srivastsangam, the Panchatattva, they would be dancing all day, all night. Especially at night time, the doors would be closed and it would only be for the intimate associates of Lord Chaitanya. Srivast Thakur was a householder and he had a son. And Malini's wife was with the other ladies looking after the children in the other, outer part of the house, while the Panchatattva and the associates were doing Harinam Sankirtan in deep ecstasy within the inner courts. And it's described how during one night, Lord Chaitanya was having ecstatic Sankirtan, and at the same time, the little child of Srivast Thakur, left his body. Naturally, the lady started to cry and weep and sob. And hearing this commotion, or the noise, Srivast Thakur went into the outer courts where the ladies were. He found out that his son had died, and within an instant, he asked the ladies to control their emotions. I can just read here. This incident is described as follows by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. One night while Sri Chaitanya was dancing with his devotees, one of the Srivast Thakur's sons who was suffering from some disease died. Srivast Thakur was so patient, however, that he did not allow anyone to express sorrow by crying, for he did not want the kirtan going on at his house to be disturbed. Thus, the kirtan continued without a sound of lamentation. And one lecture Radhanath Swami gave, he was discussing the elevated consciousness of Srivast Thakur, how he didn't want Lord Chaitanya's ecstasy to be affected by the incident that had happened. And similarly, we see with Govinda how he crossed Lord Chaitanya's feet in order to serve Lord Chaitanya, but he didn't want to cross Lord Chaitanya's feet in order to serve himself when it was his time to go and take prasadam. So in Gauralila, we see the highest level of devotion displayed. And here we can see such a high level of care for the Lord's ecstasy, even at the expense of one's own emotions, natural emotions. However, I wanted to share a story that was very close to my heart, because I definitely was not like Srivast Thakur. So 4 years ago, yesterday, my son was born, who is very dear to me. And this is in line with everything that we're discussing about family ties, emotions and attachments, and how we deal with them. And it was 4 years today that he was in ICU. So he was born, he was a blessed child with lots of sannyasis and Vaishnavas coming to our house. And my wife was serving them nicely. So we were looking forward to having this devotee child. Sachinandan Swami told us that these kids that are coming into the devotee families, they are demigods and even more elevated people that are fighting to get into ISKCON. There's a queue of them and they're fighting to get into ISKCON. Because this is the easiest and most secure way of going back to the highest states of reality, Goloka, through Prabhupada's mercy. So we're very excited. Then the birth came, i.e. 4 years ago yesterday. We were happy, healthy, etc. But then on the night after he was born, then he wasn't feeding properly and he was becoming weak. And then they said he had jaundice, which is where the liver is not working effectively. So then they put him in this box with a blue light. And you can only imagine, maybe for those who are parents, it's heartbreaking. For those of you who are preachers, somebody that you've cultivated for a very long time, and you see them going off the wagon. So it's just saying, it's like a, oh God, you know, it's so close and so much attachment is there, but you feel like it's going. And then late in the darks of the night, the midwife or nurse came to me and said, look, it's hit and miss. You know, I think we're going to have to put him in ICU and see how things go. And I was like, okay. And then there's this issue about consent, where I think the mother has the highest consent level, but she wasn't in a state, so, and she was sleeping. And I said, and I knew she wouldn't be keen on that. So I said, okay, take him in ICU and do what you need to do. A side note or preparatory note is this is my spiritual master, His Holiness Kadama Karna Swami, was in town in London, and he was involved in the preceding days just before she went into labor. So the midwife takes my son Giriraj in the little box or whatever carrier thing down into the ICU, and I go down after half an hour. They let me in, and there's like, it seems like Kalia, just thousands and thousands of wires and tubes everywhere plugged into this little devotee baby. And throughout his pregnancy, we had always meditated and prayed to this picture of Govardhan Lal, the Shila in Hungary, New Vajradham, and Dharmeshwar Mahaprabhu as his two companions and protectors. And that's where his two names come from, Giriraj and then the other name of Lord Chaitanya. So in the ICU, they asked for everything to be taken out in that little box because it's an incubator. So we had to take the coverages off, the tulsi off, and everything like that off. And then the midwife, who I'll always be grateful for, she asked also to take the pictures out because we had Dharmeshwar Mahaprabhu and a picture of Govardhan Lal just behind his head. And she asked to take these pictures out because they may be harboring bacteria or germs or something. And I said, I'm really sorry, but the power of these pictures is much stronger than the power of the germs on the gloss. They're not going to come out. She said, you have to. And I said, as his father, I'm saying no. And unless you can show me a legal clause of why I have to, they're staying. And I spoke with so much conviction somehow that she was Muslim. Somehow she just said, okay, fine then, because she could see I was not going to back off. And normally I'm quite relaxed about like these sentimental things, like, okay, fine, you know, the Lord is in the heart, the Lord is outside the box, the Lord is in the name, it's fine, you know. But I was adamant that them two, Dharmeshwar Mahaprabhu and Giriraj, had to stay, as in Govardhan, had to stay there. So then a few hours passed and he was still in there, and obviously I was crying lots. But I also had my bead bag and I was chanting lots, and I went way over the number of rounds than I'd ever gone before. But there was a lot of sympathy, a lot of grief, some anger. There was lots of emotions. My wife was resting upstairs and in the maternity ward. So then I called Kadama Karna Swami, and then he called me back shortly afterwards. And the discussion we had was precious, where he initially gave me comforting words and he allowed me to speak my emotions. And I'm sharing this because this is an opportunity for us to learn of how to deal with people when they lose things, but also not only when they lose their body, but when they lose confidence, or when they lose courage, or when they lose momentum. People often feel down when these circumstances come and affect them. So how do we deal with them? Amara showed perfectly for me how to. So he gave me comforting words. He allowed me to speak. He didn't try to just cut me off and just give me the knowledge. As did Krishna to Arjuna on the battlefield. He let him speak all his five anxieties or his dilemmas and disagreements. And he allowed him again and again to repeat. And then eventually, when the time was right, when the time was mature, he cut him and said, "You're speaking like a fool." Maharaj wasn't that heavy with me, but he did start to then tell me that, you know, this great soul has come and he's coming to Prabhupada's mercy. He's been able to serve the Vaishnavas, albeit in the womb. And maybe this is all he needed to do in order to go back to Godhead. Or maybe this body was going to have problems for a long period of life. And in which case, maybe better to get out of a suffering body and get a new body as a Vaishnav, having had prasadam, into a new body where he'd be able to serve more in Prabhupada's mission. And these things I was not, you know, thinking of. They were beyond my horizons. So he relieved my grief, and he also detached me from the situation. Now, what can I do? I'm not allowed to do anything. I'm a dentist. He's got no teeth. So what can I really do? So I just have to leave it in the hands of the surgeons and the nurses and the maternity people. And I have to just, the only thing that I did have that I could control was my beads. So I just chanted and chanted and chanted. There's this verse here, a purport from Chapter 2 of the Bhagavad Gita, verse number 7. Prabhupada writes, "The kripanas, or miserly persons, waste their time in being overly affectionate for family, society, country, etc. In the material conception of life, one is often attached to family life, namely to wife, children, and other members, on the basis of skin disease." I can't remember reading that, but that's a very interesting term. Skin disease. "The kripana thinks that he's able to protect his family members from death, or the kripana thinks that his family or society can save him from the verge of death. Such family attachment can be found even in the lower animals who take care of children also. Being intelligent, Arjuna could understand that his affection for family members and his wish to protect them from death were the causes of his perplexities. Although he could understand that his duty to fight was awaiting him, still on the account of miserly weakness, he could not discharge the duties. He is therefore asking Lord Krishna, the Supreme Spiritual Master, to make a definite solution." So I was also in that position where I kind of just felt, I can't do anything. So then I asked Maharaj, what should I do in that humbled? The material nature will humble us, whether we want it or not. The quicker we go and approach humility, the easier the path. The more we resist, the longer and harder the path. But it's just nature's law. We are going to get slapped. We are going to get humbled. And maybe we should embrace it rather than let it strangle us. So this skin disease was affecting me a lot, and I wasn't so aware of it or conscious of it. And Maharaj exposed it, and the situation exposed it. And I asked Maharaj, as my spiritual master, what should I do in this situation? And he said, just chant, be strong and supportive to the wife. And whatever happens, the kid has not been able to do much action in this life. It's been one day. So whatever's happening right now is purely the karma. It's not, you can't blame anything. So just let course take its action and be there, you know, whatever comes. Shishirada Gokula Nanda Ki Jai. So we chanted and we were strong and we were very much relying on Govardhan, he who protects the residents of Vrindavan from the calamities given by Indra. And so whatever Maya Devi had planned and karma, destiny had planned for our son, I was just depending on Govardhan Hill. There's also an interesting part here about my son wanted to explain this part, if with your permission, if he can have the mic for 1 minute. He's been practicing. Giriraj?
Dinosmin yata de yojar brams te antaras prakti pratranamu yate.
His mom's trying to teach him the Gita, so he's trying to learn. So we all know how the body, as it passes from youth, middle age, old age, ultimately death, no one gets bewildered by that. But we get bewildered when the soul moves from body to body. And interesting, here's a nice, the end of the purport. Any man who has perfect knowledge of the constitution of the individual soul, the super soul and nature, both material and spiritual, is called dhira, or most sober man. Such a man is never deluded by such a change of bodies. And so being drunk in the skin disease, I needed a sober man, my spiritual master, to awaken my awareness. Now, this story talks about my skin disease with my son, but we all have skin disease unless we are practicing on a transcendental level. And take a moment to reflect, what is your skin disease? What skin disease are we affected by the most? Is it our mother? Is it that we belong to an ashram? Is it that we belong to the manor ashram? Is it that we are attached to being the color of the body or the age of the body? Everyone is being, if we are on material consciousness, we are being affected by this skin disease. So think, use my example, use the examples of the Shastra to think, what skin disease do I have and what am I doing to try and eliminate or reduce that attachment? Ayendra Prabhu famously was asked in a GBC meeting, when he was crossing the boundaries too much, said, what ashram are you? Because you dress like a Babaji and you don't follow the program as much. Where are you in Varnashram? And he famously said that I'm not a Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra. I'm not a, what is it? Brahmachari, Grihastha, Vanaprastha, Sannyasi. I'm Gopi Bhattad, Kamalaya, Dasanadas. That he's beyond all of this. Now, he was on that platform, but we need to try and aspire to that platform. And aspirations only happen if we make actions on them. You can have New Year's resolutions, but in order for it to mean something, you have to act. So what action are we going to do today, tomorrow, for the next year, for the years to come, to try and eliminate the skin disease? So the conclusion of this aspect, that we should try and keep our intelligence sharpened by the examples in the Shastra, but also be realistic and ensure we have good support network around us in case we can't remember the truth at our time of need. Like the Pandavas, they had Krishna. Sanatana Goswami, when he wanted to commit suicide, he had Lord Chaitanya to stop him. And I had my spiritual master, for whom I will always be indebted to. So the two questions, the two keys, take-home messages are, what skin disease is affecting us the most, and what action are we going to do about reducing or eliminating that? And the second is, at our time of need, do we have the appropriate, strong Vaishnav support who will be there to sympathize with us and uplift our consciousness from material to spiritual consciousness? Also today, in the next 10 minutes, I just wanted to share a few things about the festival, Ganga Sagar Mela, which is the second largest mela in India after Kumbh Mela. Ganga Sagar is where the Ganga from Bengal goes into the Sea of Bengal, that junction. And I just wanted to read a few points about Mother Ganga, with your permission. Is that okay, Nishinjan? So Sripad Vallabhacharya has explained that there's three forms of Ganga Devi. The water, which is nourishing the crops on the banks, bathing water for the pilgrims, drinking water for so many communities. And research shows, this is from when I was researching this last night, there's research from the 1800s all the way to the modern day on the miracle of the Ganges water. And it shows that the mystical, unparalleled antibacterial properties, even when the Ganges water has so many dead bodies and pollution within it. So there's a BBC report saying how polluted the Ganges is in certain areas because of the leather production companies using the Ganges water, and then I think it's the chrome that comes out and goes in. So there's so much pollution, and many of us have been to Mayapur and gone to the Ganges. Some may have been fortunate to go up to the source of the Ganga in the Himalayas, where obviously is much purer or less polluted. And I personally have seen the Ganges water and taken a bottle of it and have questioned whether or not to bathe my deities in it, because it's intense in terms of the so-called visible contaminations in there. But medical scientific research shows its unparalleled antibacterial properties, and they can't attribute it chemically. They can't understand how is it that the water lasts longer than other water which becomes putrefied very quickly. So one form of Sri Ganga Devi is her water, her mystical water. Second form is her place of pilgrimage, where people come and pray. Radhanath Swami, this is from a transcript, he also was giving a class about Ganga Devi, and he said how many people go to Ganga Devi for blessings. Some go for, you know, their child to get good exam results. People go for long life. Some people go to get good husbands or wives. And if they already have a husband or wife, they ask Ganga Devi for them to become better or good people. But that's a difficult thing for Ganga Devi to do. But they still go and pray. And the third form of Ganga Devi is that she's a personality, a divine goddess, an expansion of the pleasure potency of the Supreme Lord who can award us pure bhakti. And that's why Prabhupada installed in our Prema Dwani prayers that we pray also and glorify Mother Ganga as well as Mother Yamuna. Ganga Devi, the personality, having observed the pastimes of Sri Hari Krishna in Vrindavan, she wasn't envious or jealous of the glories of Yamuna, but she also was, she had this lolium, this eagerness to serve Krishna to the same degree that Yamuna Devi did. So Krishna benedicted her that in Kali Yuga, Radha and Krishna will come together as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Navadvip, and there you will be the river that will be serving him. And serving did she do. The birth of Lord Chaitanya was was during the eclipse time, and at that time the culture was that everyone goes into the holy rivers and chants the name of Krishna. And so that way Ganga Mata was intimately related to the pastimes of Sri Chaitanya. When he grew up and became Nimai Pandit, he would bathe pretty much the whole day, sporting pastimes in the river Ganges. He took sannyas by the river Ganges. He took initiation by the river Ganges. And like that, she was serving him so much in Navadvip. When he left to go Jagannath Puri, she was so eager to serve and assist Lord Chaitanya's pastimes that she went into the sea, and that's where the Ganga Sagar is, and she traveled up to the river in Puri, to the sea in Puri, so that she could serve him there as well. So Ganga Devi was so attached to serving Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And in this way, Mahaprabhu also was so dear. Ganga Devi was so dear to Mahaprabhu. He said that in this age of Kali, I have come in two forms, as wood and as water. As wood, I've come as Jagannath, Lord Jagannath. And as water, I've come as Mother Ganga. And when he was leaving to go back to Bengal with his Vaishnav devotees, he said, I'm going to Bengal for two reasons. To see my mother and to see my mothers, Mother Sachi and Mother Ganga. And he also glorified that anyone who bathes in the Ganges touches the Ganga, drinks Ganga, sees Ganga, or anyone who is touched even by a breeze that has come from the Ganga will get Krishna Prem, love for Krishna. So Ganga Devi is a very important personality, and today we can, I'm sure the devotees have Ganga water. You can sprinkle some on your head, or you could do Archaman and invoke Ganga Devi into the water. But like anything, like Charanamrita, like this garland, it's explained, if you smell the garland that's come from the Lord, you attain pure love of Godhead. I haven't. And it's because of the our mood of reciprocation or receiving that mercy, which is the key factor. Narottam Das Thakur explains in one song that by bathing 100 times in the Ganga, one could be purified of the sins and eventually love of God could awaken. But just by seeing a pure Vaishnav, the same effect can come into place. And that's why, I think it's in the 11th canto, there's a famous verse where it explains that you can go to a place of pilgrimage, or you can do so many acts of devotion, but the highest is associating with the devotee or the sadhus in that place of pilgrimage. That's the key. So yes, Ganga is all merciful, but without the blessings of saintly people and learning from them, we cannot access that blessing. Once Ayendra Prabhu was asked about Ayendra Prabhu was asked about Ganga Devi and whether he bathes his deities, his Shilas, with Ganga or Yamuna. And the conversation went on, and he worships his deities with Yamuna water, but he was glorifying Ganga Devi. And he said that the best way to glorify Ganga Devi is, what would you say, the best way for us to worship Ganga is? To pour the water back into her. Anything else? Chant Hare Krishna. Anything else? Huh? Bathe the deities with Ganga water. Anything else? Okay, let me ask you this. If you wanted, say it was, say I was feeling down, and you wanted me to uplift me, you wanted me to become happy, what would you try and do? No. How would you make me happy? Prasadam? Anything else? Talk to me? Glorify me? Glorify Radha and Krishna and their beautiful pastimes? Anything else? Pray to Krishna for me. Preach to me about Krishna's glories. Any parents want to have a go? That's a clue. Be nice to my children. Glorify the child. So you make any parent more happy by glorifying their child to them than by trying to glorify them. So somebody could glorify me and I'll just do the humble thing. But if you say something nice about my child to me, I can't help but smile. And we're all victim of that, right? If someone says something nice about your mother, immediately some warmth in the heart. If someone says something nice about your service, which you could call your child, your project, your baby, you'll become happy. So similarly, Ayendra Prabhu was explaining that if we glorify Bhishma Dev, the glorious son of Ganga Devi, then she is most happy. Rather than getting some water and offering it back to her, we may or may not have the devotion and the consciousness to do that. It may be a ritual. But if you glorify her son to her, whether you mean it or not, she'll be so happy. And Ayendra Prabhu said, Ganga Devi will come and throw her waters on you more than the palm you can offer to her. So in that mood, just for a minute, I just want to read a few glories of Bhishma Dev so that as a community we can get the blessings of Ganga Devi so that we can get rid of some of our sins and that we can also get closer to Krishna's lotus feet from which she emanates. So Bhishma Dev, was the eighth son of King Shantanu and the goddess Ganga. He was an unparalleled archer and warrior of the time. And it said that the day before he was killed by Arjuna, the Pandavas were lamenting and were scared and nervous because they knew that Bhishma Dev couldn't be conquered. So in that sense, unconquerable. On his deathbed, he handed down the Vishnu Sahasranam to Yudhishthira Maharaj. On his deathbed, I mean, that's Mahajan level devotion. And his pledge of lifelong celibacy. His other names were Devavrata, that was his childhood name, the one who'd taken a great vow. Gangaputra, the son of Ganga. Shantanava, the descendant of Shantanu Maharaj. Pita Maha, the parental grandfather. Maha Mahima, the great king or one who is excessively great. Gauranga, can we get a loud Gauranga? The one, that way we get two benedictions, one from Ganga Devi and one from the most merciful Lord. Gauranga, the one with a fair body. Many of us remember the Mahabharata when we were kids, he was the fair-skinned one. Sveta Vaira, a white warrior, or the one who is heroic white. Ashtavasu, elemental gods in previous lives. So originally his name was Devavrata, but he became known as Bhishma after he took the Bhishmana Pratigna, the terrible oath. Terrible because he had all qualification to be an amazing father, husband, and heir to the throne. But he gave all of that up, in a very long story, but he gave that all up for lifelong brahmachari and of service to whoever sat on the throne of his father. And thus he had to take the side of Duryodhan and Dhritarashtra because they were the ones occupying the seat. His father granted him the boon of Icha Mrityu, control over when his own death, and that he could choose the time of his death. And he chose his time to be when Lord Krishna was there and he was having the darshan of the Lord's lotus face. Something nice I read is that when he had been shot by Arjuna thousands of times and pierced, that his head was not comfortable. So he asked Arjuna, give me a pillow. So Arjuna shot two arrows upwards, so the sharp bits into the back of his head, and that was his comfort because of the devotion of his student with such accuracy. Then he asked Arjuna, I'm thirsty. So Arjuna, in a true Mahabharata way, got his quiver out, some mantra, shot it into the ground, and water came out. And I'd heard that before, but what I didn't know is that was Ganga that came to serve her son. So in this way, we can see Bhishma Dev is one of the 12 Mahajans, and is such an example of us for courage in our service to Srila Prabhupada's mission. And for the devotees in the ashram, he took that lifelong vow of celibacy, and from that came such great strength that he was able to become one of the Mahajans. So these are a few glorifications of Bhishma and Ganga Devi. And the take-home message from the verse is that what is our skin disease and what action are we going to do to try and reduce or eliminate that? And finally, have we surrounded ourselves or are we trying to surround ourselves with the appropriate Vaishnav support so that in our time of need, like I was, I had my spiritual master, and the Pandavas had Krishna, but who will we have? So thank you for your kind attention. Forgive me if I missed things out or if I said anything that was inappropriate or incorrect. I hope it inspired myself anyway. Hopefully it could be some use for yourselves. Hare Krishna.